anointing. And we are so glad to be able to talk about that today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're glad you've joined us. And we're looking forward to the next 2 hours of a great time together talking about the Word of God and having some great music that's just absolutely going to bless you. And it's all good. It's exciting what God is doing. To my right is Connie Farmer. Yeah. And then Nan Watson over here to my left. Nan, you're filling in for Carol today, who's very ill. So we just speak a blessing to her and ask God to touch her body.
What is the t-shirt Nan is wearing? The wordage on the back of her shirt, please.
Uh-huh. I don't know about the back.
I forgot what it said. Do I must stand up so you can see it?
Yeah, turn around so the cameras can see.
Yeah.
No. I was there. I think it said I was there. Is that correct?
Yeah, yes. Grand Prix Bahrain.
Bahrain. Yeah, my brother was there.
Bahrain. Yeah, not you.
But I was there. I was there at Beacon this morning.
I was there.
We finally got there.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there.
We finally got there.
And what was God doing today at Beacon of Hope?
Oh, he was just blessing all those who wanted to receive.
Wasn't he? Showing up. And we're just glad you've joined us. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Beacon of Hope Ministries, we're a global ministry worldwide, and we're excited to be able to share the word with you today. And it's always fun to be able to talk about God and the things he's doing. Man, God's answering prayer right and left in our lives.
He's answering prayer big time. Well, my back is an example.
Exactly.
It was out. I mean, it was out. I was out. I was in bed and kind of sent word through Connie that, you know, and sent word on the prayer line yesterday and then through Connie this morning at church. And
wasn't coming.
Yeah,
you weren't coming.
I wasn't coming, and Connie really encouraged me and prayed for me, and it got better. I got up, got going, it got a lot better, and praise God, it's not bothering me at all now.
Yes, praise God. You know, that's a great lesson for all of us, because so often we can get down in that kind of that quagmire of not only feeling bad, but feeling bad emotionally and letting the devil have a place there in us that really is hard to come out of sometimes, Con.
Mm-hmm. Sagging down.
Yeah, you know. But then we have to learn that we have the authority in the name of Jesus and that we need to actually pray for ourselves. And we've been doing that some at Beacon of Hope, praying for ourselves. Because so often we feel like, oh, well, there's so many needs out there, I need to be praying for others. But really, God reminds us we need to be praying for ourselves also.
Well, when all else fails, we need to stand.
And we need to stand. And we're talking about that today.
And that's what I told her, to get out of bed and stand up.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. It's all about standing, and that is a big theme today on this radio show, is about standing and what that means. We've been studying the book of Ephesians for the last few weeks, God's goodness, grace, and glory. And we've based it in the book of Ephesians, which we're just about finished with that. But the book of Ephesians really is a wonderful 6 chapters written by Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's talking about sitting, where we are sitting with him, and walking. How do we walk on a daily basis? How do we walk as Christians? That's what we've been talking about the last few weeks. Learning to walk in love, learning to walk in the blessings of the Lord, learning to experience what God has for us and reach out and believe for that, our daily Christian walk. And then the third aspect of it is standing. And that's what we're talking about today, which we started talking about last week. Standing on what? What do you stand for? You know, do you stand for something? Do you have kind of like that fire on the inside of you that you are standing for certain things? When people get a cause, you know, you see it on the news, people like the different Occupy Washington and Occupy, all these different cities that's happened in the last several months. You know, those people had a cause. I don't know that they're doing that much anymore. I think,
well, the Republican debates have taken the news. I think they're still out there. Yeah. Somebody once told me that you need to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Oh, that's excellent. Stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Exactly. And so often we find ourselves not being strong when it comes to standing, and we get rather lazy, you know, in our emotional self and in our spiritual self. You know what I'm talking about, man?
Yes. Sometimes you just get weary, just get tired.
We get tired.
Just get tired.
Right.
You know, and that's when we need to push for their own, because then that sometimes is the greatest blessings that come to us when we push on,
amen,
when we're tired,
yes,
when I don't feel like going to church, when whatever. I
right.
have Connie to text me, but
right.
no, we really need to just take a stand and move forward, and,
exactly.
and he will bless us for that.
And there are times it really is an effort, you know, to take that stand. That's what we're talking about today. But really, Jesus is our example. And oh, did he take the stand? So it's really good. We welcome you to invite some other people to tune into the show today. That would be great. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we always welcome you to one of our services. Sunday mornings at 10, it's a wild rocking time. Is that a praise band, worship team, whatever we call them? Is it just getting better and better, Connie? Is it getting better?
Last Sunday?
Wow.
I felt like we had, it was like we drew a line in the sand and we just ran across it.
Right.
And so then I was thinking, last week was so powerful.
It was.
And then we had the workshop yesterday.
Yeah, workshop for
oh
you,
my gosh.
For the praise band.
And today it was like on fire.
Oh.
It was so crazy.
So crazy.
It was so cool.
And so wonderful what God has done to bring the voices, the instruments, the guitar, the bass, the drums, the keyboards, everything together. God has just really done a miracle for us in that regard, and it's just sounding better and better. A lot of fun. So we welcome you to our services on Sunday morning at 7. At 10. That would be... Don't get there at 7 on Sunday morning.
I just got a great idea for a new church song.
What's that?
It's called Tightening Up for Jesus, and then you say, you was talking about drums, keyboards, let that bass fill in. All right.
Engineer Bill's always got his ideas.
Tightening up for Jesus.
There you go. Tighten it up. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. So, okay. So we're excited about what God's doing. And let's listen to this first song. And I asked Connie, you to put this on again, mm-hmm. because we played it last week. But it's one of my favorites. It's an old song, More Than Conquerors, and it really, really says what we're going to talk about today, that we are more than conquerors. We are not beat about. We don't have to be beat around by the devil, and we're going to talk about that and get you stronger today.
We've been made victorious.
God. Oh, what a great song. More than conquerors. That's who we are. Praise God. Woo! Yes. Amen. Oh, glory to God. That's who we are. More than conquerors. Go with me to Book of Ephesians, chapter 6. As I said a moment ago, we've been in Ephesians for a few weeks. God's goodness, grace, and glory. Go with me to verse 10 of Ephesians 6. And I'm in the Message Bible. And that about wraps it up, Paul says. God is strong, and he wants you strong. God is strong, and he wants you strong. It's not okay just to be a wimp walking around, because when you're a wimp, you get all beat up. And we're going to come back to that point. Nan and Connie, I want to talk to you about strength versus wimpiness. Maybe you can make a note of that, because we're going to come back to that point, because God really is strong. He is strong. He's strong in our behalf. He is the great almighty God. He is the mighty God, he's called. And he wants you strong. He doesn't want you to be defeated. He doesn't want you sitting around in your junk today. Some of you out there may be having a rough day in Florida today, or let's just say Clearwater, Florida. It is not clear. It is very dreary, and it's kind of rainy, and it's cold, and it's kind of unusual that it's like this today.
Well, let's just say cold. It's 65 or 70.
Oh, yeah, it's cold, yeah. Some of you in the northern countries, yes, and also states.
It's cold for us.
Yeah, you're thinking that's not cold at all, but for us it is. And, yeah, so it's kind of dreary out there. And some of you, wherever you are, maybe you're having one of those dreary days where you feel like, wow, I'm just not motivated, I'm tired, I'm lazy, whatever it may be. I want you to understand the importance of being fired up spiritually today. Because God says he's strong and he wants you strong. So take everything, this is Ephesians 6:10 in the Message Bible, take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials. Now, he tells us he wants us strong, but he does not say that he's not going to give us the materials to fight with. You know, those of you that have been in the military, my dad was in World War II, and I know that they issued them each a rifle. I remember he said they had to clean it, take it all apart all the time, do all that stuff to it, have it ready for the battle the next day. I mean, their weapon was very important. Guys, our weapons are very important, and we're going to begin to talk more about that today. And put these to use so you will be able to, what? In the Message Bible, it says stand.
Stand.
You put these weapons to use so that you can stand up to everything the devil throws your way. So you can stand up to what the devil throws your way. Is the devil going to throw things at you? Absolutely. Nan and Connie, we're going to come back and talk about that in just a minute. The devil does throw things at us. So Paul says here in Ephesians 6, verses 10, 11, right in there, that you are to put these weapons to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Who throws these things your way? It's the devil. It's the devil. I mean, and so often I think we don't give him. We talked about this Wednesday night of Bible study a little bit, because on my mind on Wednesday during the day were two words, you know, power and credit. Okay. So often we don't take the power that we have over the devil, and we don't give him the credit for doing some of the junk he does to us. You know, and I'm not saying that kind of credit in a good way. Mm-hmm. This is bad kind of credit where we acknowledge that he is behind the scenes working, causing issues in our lives and causing discouragement. If you're feeling very discouraged out there today, realize that the devil does not want you encouraged. He wants you defeated. Mm-hmm. He wants you sick. He wants you tired. He wants you depressed. Mm-hmm. He wants you in a pity party, in a funk. That's where he wants you. You know, and the devil is the one who's doing this. And it says, I mean, Paul says it right here, so that you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. It doesn't say just a couple things the devil might throw to your way. I mean, everything that he throws. And this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. You know, it's not like just a Saturday afternoon softball game. Okay, this is a way of life. And let me finish this next sentence and or next sentence or two, and then I'm going to get Connie and Nan in here to comment. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So be prepared. This is verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Still be on your feet. And the first weapon that's mentioned right here in the Message Bible is truth. And we're going to talk a lot about truth today, because truth is a weapon. And we're going to talk about how can truth be a weapon. I mean, isn't something either true or not? How do I use truth as a weapon? And we're going to get into all this. So let's go back a moment. Connie and Nan, I love the fact that in the Message Bible it says, take everything the Master has set up for you. Well-made weapons of the best materials. See, God's already got it all planned. He knows we're in a battle. Comment on that, Con. I mean, it's no surprise to God that we're in a battle on a daily basis.
No, because the more we try to follow Christ, the more that Satan's going to try to attack us and
absolutely
and try to make us stumble and not follow through on what our goals are.
Yes,
we're trying to run the race, and knowing that we have an enemy
because
of the word enemy who will do anything. He's
right.
A liar. He's a cheat. He hates our guts. And he'll do anything to try and stop us because he doesn't want us getting our story out.
Right.
And living our life the way that we want to live it.
Well, something you just said just absolutely reminded me of something I wrote down in my notebook in the car. And I was driving yesterday. I was listening to a Graham Cook CD, which I love. And he said this. I want your comments on this. There is no breakthrough without follow through. Now, we're just talking about breakthrough because the devil is constantly looking for our weak places. Mm-hmm. If your weak place is depression, the devil is going to constantly have things in your life that's going to cause you to have depression and you to see things in a depressed way. If that is your Achilles heel or your weak point. Nan, talk to me about there is no breakthrough without follow through.
For it to be true breakthrough.
Right.
There has to be follow through.
Why?
Because it's not going to stick. It's not going to last.
Not gonna stick.
It's like trying to put a Band-Aid over something that requires a lot larger. You think it's going to help for a little while, therefore you're going to put it on there, but
right.
it required really more than that. That will be, you know, where.
Right.
You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. Connie and I play golf. I don't know if you've ever played golf, Nan.
No.
Never. Okay.
Putt-putt.
But putt-putt's really different.
That doesn't count.
But I try.
Nice try.
It's really different than playing 18 holes, let me tell you. And there's been times in my past, Connie, that I played two sets of 18 holes in one day. I played 36 holes.
I believe
holes.
It.
I mean, that's how addicted I was at one point to that wonderful game. But when you, and I can't get up here and show it to you, but when you do a golf swing, you're not going to have a breakthrough shot. You know, a shot that goes down where it needs to go to be in the fairway, get ready, set up for your chipping and your putting and all that. If you do not have good follow through, because what happens is there's a lot of people that get up to hit the ball and they just kind of chop at the ball and it just goes straight down,
mm-hmm.
or it goes, you know, a little tiny onk. You know, and mm-hmm. I've had many of those in my day too. One of those little onk. You know, and it doesn't go anywhere.
You swing so good, and it just falls off the tee. The wind, you totally missed the ball, and the wind just blows it off the tee.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But when there is a really good shot, it's mm-hmm. a sweet shot, and you can feel it.
And
oh,
you start
my.
Through, you just follow through.
You follow
your
through.
Swing, and
yes.
Hit and spit.
There you go. And I taught my kids and my nephews all to play golf. And I remember, you know, as they're all little guys standing out there, you know, at St. Andrews here. And they're standing out here and they're saying, okay, I said, you got to turn your body and get your belt buckle going that direction. Which is interesting when we talk about
belt
truth
buckle.
Today, belt
mm-hmm.
buckle. True. Because in a golf swing, you've got to turn your body and get your belt buckle lined up with where you want to go. Boy, that just fit, didn't it? Oh, my. We'll explain that to you in just a minute.
Yeah, you had a golf swing there. You didn't hear that?
Was that a golf swing?
Was that what that was?
Nice. That was a nice one.
Thanks. That was a nice one. Thanks, Bill. That's great. So there's got to be follow through for a great golf swing. It's got to go that direction, then the ball's going to follow, you know, as you execute.
Well, if you think about it, anytime you make a decision for something that changes, that's going to change your life,
right?
You have to, in order to keep from going back to your old habits, you have to change what you do.
Exactly.
Because if you keep doing what you always did,
right,
you're always going to get what you always got, which is the definition of insanity if you think you're going to get something different.
Right.
So in order to make a change and to have the change happen, the follow-through part is changing your actions and continuing your actions all the way through. Till they become a habit.
Exactly.
And then it's, you know, then it's...
then it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's just like with your golf swing. If you go to the driving range and practice, the next time you actually play, considering that it's not 20 years since you were, when you went to the driving range, as you get up to hit the ball or you actually play 18 holes,
right,
you actually have some follow through and you actually have some nice shots.
Because you remember, your body remembers, you remember what it felt like when you take that that club around the right way. And spiritually speaking, when we can have a measure of truth. We can have, I know the devil exists. But when we realize that the devil hates you, He really hates you, and he's out to ruin you. He's out to cause you to stumble every single day in some way. He's out there. And in a way, somebody may be saying, well, that's kind of scary or that's not good news. No, it's good news to know who your enemy is. Mm-hmm. It's really good news to know who your enemy is. And know what his what his tactics are. And that's why Paul says here, you're going to be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way if you find out what your weapons are and if you use them appropriately. And that's what we're talking about. And let's go back to that verse 12, I think it is. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. This is serious business. What is going on in your life on a daily basis is very serious because the devil wants you to be defeated, discouraged, sick, broke, depressed. All of that. Did you start to say something?
Well, we only get one shot at life. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us don't realize these facts until we're older or don't pay attention to the things until we're older. And so then then it's even more of a life or death.
Exactly.
Thing, you know, that you follow through and you get busy and you do what you're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely. And it becomes a choice. I remember we had when I owned the Christian bookstore, we carried a little book, and I still have one of them, Healed of Cancer by Dodie Osteen. That's that is Joel Osteen's mother. Okay. I believe she's still alive. John Osteen went to be with the Lord a few years back. But this little book, if any of you out there have cancer, know somebody that does, go to a Christian bookstore and find this book, Healed of Cancer by Dodie Osteen. Because Dodie was given up for dead. She was sent home to die, and she was told that she just had a matter of a few weeks or days to live. And what she did is the subject of this radio show today. She got a hold of the truth of what God says about her healing, and she began to fight with the truth. And today, that's our mission today on this show. And we are going to believe God that this is going to get through to every single one of our listeners now, or if they listen to it later on down the road on the website. Because the devil is all about lies. He's all about all these tricks and all the stuff that he's doing. And we've got to learn what is the truth and how do I fight with the truth. And what Dodie Osteen did, they got her all set up in her bedroom, you know, in her bed. And she really was not even able to walk. I mean, it's that bad. She was that ill. And I think she was only in her 40s. I think this has been several years ago when this happened. Maybe 50s. I don't know. But it was a long time ago.
She might be... Yeah,
because I think
60s maybe. Yeah. She's probably close to 80
she's,
by now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure she is. And so, anyway, she got the scriptures that she knew, and she got them, and she began to just speak the truth about what the Bible says about her, not what the devil says about her. And long story short, she's still alive 20-some or more years later because she fought with the truth. Mm. The truth is a weapon. The lies of the devil are a weapon of the devil. The truth is a weapon of God, and he expects us to use it. So, Nan, what was it I said to you? Let's talk about strength versus strength wimpiness, right?
Versus wimpiness.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me a minute about this wimpiness that so often we all go through. But if we go through it when it's a critical time in our life and we aren't fighting, it can really take us down, can it?
Yes.
You want to comment on that more? Then yes, you sound like Connie.
Keep going. Well, I think we lose a lot of ground when we don't stand and fight. You
exactly.
know, when we just give in.
Right.
I think of times in my life that I haven't used the weapons that were available to me here that's available to everybody. And I took spiritual hits.
Right.
And by a spiritual, what is a spiritual hit? Well, a spiritual hit may be, I don't want to go to church this morning. I don't want to go to prayer meeting Wednesday night. I don't want to get together with the group after church. Whatever.
Right.
Because you've taken the spiritual hits because you didn't use the spiritual warfare.
And
you didn't stand up.
And maybe you were feeling discouraged, defeated, or just sick, or I just think I want a day off, or whatever.
Right.
And as a result of that, the devil causes there to be disappointment and all the things that happen on the inside of us.
Well, he'll take the opportunity. All he needs is that one opportunity, and he's at you.
Give him an inch, he'll take a mile.
He really will. And then you have to, you can repent if it was something that needed repentance or whatever, and you get back going again. But you feel like you've lost territory.
Absolutely.
Like in a war.
Right.
When they retreat. Okay, the whole command, they retreat.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are we going to do? And then they start enlisting what they're supposed to, and then they move forward again.
Right.
But they had to regain that territory. They had to regain that space. And I think that's what we have to do at times is, does it mean I'm still a Christian? Oh, yes.
Sure.
I haven't lost God.
Right.
But I've lost footing of spiritual footing that I had, that it takes me a while to even catch back up with where I was.
Well, and God's been telling us that we're in a territory taking time, that we need to be taking more territory away from the devil, not giving it up. Go ahead, Connie.
I was just going to say, when we do lose territory, you have to realize that when you start feeling bad about you should have done differently and all that, that's Satan as well.
Right.
Trying to condemn you.
Exactly.
See, you're not. You're not what you think you are. You're not what you thought you were.
Right.
Excuse me.
Right. Mm. And that's one of the devil's main tricks. And we're going to talk about that today quite a bit, because the devil certainly wants you to be so discouraged and defeated that you don't feel like fighting. Mm-hmm. Right?
You lose your will to fight.
You lose your will to fight. It's just like when people lose their will to eat, and you have to have that, like my mom.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't have that problem either.
My mother is ill, and she's been going through that, and it's every bite is a struggle. And I was in her room Friday night at the hospital trying to feed her, and it was it was horrible. Every bite was, that's too hot or that's too cold. And basically she just didn't want to eat, and when you have that loss of desire to eat, you need food for spiritual, you need spiritual food. You need physical food for strength. Mm-hmm. And it's the same. We have got to remember that we're in a battle. And I think so many people don't want to hear we're in a battle. They just don't want to fight. And they don't want to think that they have to pray. They have to read their word. They have to speak truth about themselves. It becomes like a chore, and it shouldn't be that way. Go ahead.
I was just thinking at work, there seems to be some actual battles going on with a lady and some other people, and I have actually formed a bond because she's a Christian, And we're getting together for lunch now. I pray with her on the phone. You know, whatever.
It's
but that it seems as if there's this attack against her.
Right.
And it's, she's becoming weary.
Right.
She's becoming tired. It's not fair what's going on. And it's not fair what's going on.
Right.
And but we've talked about how we're each there for each other's support.
Praise God. Yes.
You know, in that situation. But it's not fair what's going on. But, you know, I've encouraged her. You need to hang in there. You need to. Look, you know, I gave her some insight on what was going on. And, you know, just different things like that. But, you know.
But that's a huge point that you just made, Nan, because so often when we are battle weary, you know, when we are feel like we've been beat up, you know, by the devil and whatever, that's when we need to reach out to our Christian brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. those we can trust, and say, wait a minute, I'm having a really hard day. Connie, you know I do that with you from time mm-hmm. to time, and I'll call you next and say, man, you know, pray for me. These deals are just, ugh, I'm crazy, you know, with real estate. It's just not good today. I'm having a rough day. And I can always feel when you start to do that. Sometimes we put it on our prayer line. When things are really bad, and we begin to pray for each other, and that's critical. You had a comment to that.
Yes, I think that we've touched on this many, many times on this show about church attendance.
Yes,
there may be people who don't really have a real Christian in their life. You know, they may have someone who goes to church, but not someone who's really grounded in the Word.
Right.
You know, and maybe have a lack of people around them.
Right.
That can, you know, that could be there for them. But if they go to church, you're going to wind up, ultimately, God will open, bring up the right people in your life to be there for you in those times when you have a need.
Exactly.
And so, you know, church attendance is very important.
Yeah, because that connection is made. And like what was going on today at Beacon, just the worship time, the singing, the praising, and how it took us to a place of strength and power. Mm-hmm. And hearing from God, and God was really speaking. And as the people around the room began to participate and sing our praises and our love to God, it changes what's going on down on the inside of you, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, like, and, you know, D.L.'s just, I just love him.
He's a sweetheart.
He, you know, he started by reading the scripture in mm-hmm. Acts about how Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, mm-hmm. and they started praying, and the walls, the earthquake happened, and they just, all the chains were gone, and it, just because of the praising.
Exactly.
And when we started with that, I just felt so, I just, you know, and as that first song was just so powerful, I just felt like, you know, we could do anything today. God is here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, whatever, come, you know, if you need something, come on up here, because God's going to meet you
right
here.
Exactly.
And whatever it is, he's going to take care of.
Right.
No matter what it is, come up here. Come up here.
Exactly.
You know, and then and they, but they had to stand first.
Right.
And make it up there.
Right.
They had to decide. They had to make that decision.
Absolutely.
And walk up there.
So that standing is what we're talking about. And so often the devil tries to just absolutely knock us down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes my little dogs, when they're jumping to try to get something, if I'm making a sandwich or something, they'll hit me from behind in the back of the knee, you know, back there.
They know where to get you.
You know, and I don't see it coming, you know, because they're jumping around. And man, it buckles my legs, you know, they hit you right at that place. Just kind of knocks you off your feet. You know, they don't mean to. They're not doing it maliciously or anything like that. But that's metaphorically how the devil works. He looks for that place where he can get you when you're not looking and seeing it. And man, it gets you. And it may be maybe in the area of physical tiredness, that you get so tired that you're not reading your Bible, you're not singing praises, or like you said, Nan, you're not going to a place of worship where you're being lifted up above the circumstances in your life. You know, so important.
You know, it'll make you bend. It'll make you go to your knees sometimes. You know how when you walk up behind somebody and do that just plain?
Right.
And I saw a note somebody wrote yesterday that said that when you get knocked down and you're on your knees, it's a perfect place to pray.
Ooh, amen. Amen. Mm. So when we are in a situation and a funk or whatever it can be, we reach out and we pray and we say, okay, God, I need you to strengthen me and get me back up on my feet here. I love what Paul says here in verse 12, that this is for keeps. It's life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels.
Mm-hmm.
So this is such a serious topic here. And it's one that so often we just kind of gloss over. Oh, yeah, I know I got to stand on the promises of God, or I've got to, Yeah, I got to stand on what I know. I got to stand on that. But to actually do it is another. You know, the very next line in verse 13, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own.
Sometimes we really can't. Don't even know what we're up against.
No.
I mean, we know who's at the heart of it, but we don't know everything that we're going to be up against.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I always in counseling, I always talk to people about being prayed up and using the analogy of a bank account so that,
right.
That they're praying and reading the Bible and listening to teachings and
right.
Listening to praise music and having those count as deposits in their checking account.
Amen.
So that when through the week, as you're writing the checks out to fight the devil,
right,
you still have a balance in your account
exactly.
to cover your checks and to cover you
right
until you can get back into putting the money back in, putting the
and those deposits come from times of worship, times mm-hmm. of praise, times of reading your Bible, times of walking around your house quoting the word, times of listening to a great sermon that blesses you, or maybe some of these radio shows that we've done that are on our website, times of depositing into your spiritual life the things of God, so that when things are difficult and you're having a rough day, you do have some deposits to draw from. I like that idea.
Well, I'm thinking of what Connie shared with me by text this morning, because I was in bed with my back, and she's like, you need to get here because you are having to face the week that you're going to face this week.
Right.
You know, and
right.
it's going to be a challenging week for me in certain ways at work. And, you know, she is just, you know, you need to get here to get filled up so
yes.
that you can deal with what's coming your way the next
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. And so we need to take this seriously. And Paul was saying here, take this seriously. This is for keeps. It's life or death. Fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Don't be just lackadaisical about it. Ah, yeah, no big deal. Yeah, the devil hassles me from time to time. Oh, well, so what? He's out there. We've got to get very, very serious about this fight. Connie, I believe with all my heart, the numbers of people that you and I minister to in counseling, for instance, so often one of our goals is to teach them to fight mm-hmm. and not just lay down and take whatever life has spit out, whether it's been abuse, whether it's been physical violence, whether it's been poverty, whether it's been the death of somebody in their life, the grief that they're grieving, whatever the situation, don't just lay down in a quagmire. Well, that's a cool word, quagmire.
Ooh, like
yeah, but don't lay down in that. Don't lay down in the mud, you know. Don't lay down in that. Instead, get yourself up.
Stand.
You know, and stand. You know, stand.
All I was thinking, sometimes some people don't think they're worthy enough
yeah.
to do that. You know, they just feel so inadequate, and that's
oh,
Satan helping
yes.
them to feel inadequate, because
oh,
that's what he likes
man.
To do.
Yeah.
You know, and... And they kind of say, well, you know, Satan's hassling me a little bit, but that's just not really, really bad. I don't really need to take a stand. It's not so bad.
Right.
And if you've got you saying it's not so bad and you're not taking a stand, he's winning.
He's winning
he's
right
winning
there.
Right there.
Because it is very bad. Any kind of harassment that the devil throws
yes.
at us. And a lot of it is condemnation and it's accusation, which we're going to talk more about here in a few minutes. But my point here for this first segment is, guys, realize you are in a spiritual battle. Don't take this lightly. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 here, be strong. God is strong. Take this fight seriously. It's not an afternoon softball game that doesn't mean anything. It's not just a bunch of friends getting out playing a little softball or playing a little round of golf. This is so much more serious.
He hates our
this,
guts.
Yeah, the devil hates us, and he is out there to ruin you in so many ways. Some of you may be saying, boy, that sounds really negative. No, it's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's realistic. Not meaning to be negative, but just simply to give you reality check.
Well, it's a spiritual war. It's
yes,
not,
it is.
It's not, you know, I mean, it's not the people that are in your life. It's the spirit, and he's using, when it's somebody that is being used of the devil, because he knows that they can get to our weakness,
right.
then, you know, he will use any he uses any chance he can get,
absolutely,
any tool he can get, whether
totally
it's a person, an animal, a car, whatever.
He's going to do whatever he can. Yes. And go ahead, Nan.
Well, I think as we face those situations, obviously a person, you know, God, Satan using a person in our life or whatever, and as we stand and we take victory, we have victory in that situation,
right,
we become much stronger.
Yes.
While in that battle.
Yes.
That's where we gain a lot of our strength,
right,
is actually in the battle.
Right.
I've made reference to it before, but I was in a very bad divorce situation with my husband, and some legal stuff afterwards attempted at me and stuff, you know. And it's through all that I really grew a lot, because
yes,
I said, God, you're in control.
Yes.
I mean, I'd write all kind of poems about control, all kind of, you know, about God being in control, not him, but about God, and God opening up all kind of doors. And I would go around and I'd witness to everybody,
right,
what's happening with the situation with, you know, him. Oh, well, let me tell you what God's doing.
Right.
And it's like, it really ticked Satan off, because everything that was supposed to hinder me,
right,
was actually stepping stones to strength.
Absolutely.
Stepping stones to strength. And that was like pretty cool.
Stepping stones to strength. I like that.
I read some of the stuff I wrote during that period of time, which was back in the mid 90s. And I'm like, wow, cool.
You know? Look how much stronger. Graham Cook says, and I love it, you cannot grow in faith without a problem. Problems produce endurance. They produce those things in us. We learn strength. We learn how to appropriate strength. We learn how to understand that strength is important in our lives when we're going through a problem.
Right.
You know, instead of just being wimpy, and that's what we started out talking about, wimpiness versus strength, because so many Christians are just half-heartedly there when it comes to fighting the devil. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, I know, need to do that, sure, need to do that. And that's it. You know, it doesn't go any further. It doesn't go to that point of real, actual realization that we got to fight. This is a battle we're in. We got to fight. Take My Hand by Lindsey McCall. Let's listen to this song.
I heard you say it. I know you did. You called me out into
see me through these difficult times in our lives. We have internet up now, and you can communicate with us live right here in the control room. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com if you want to send a note. If you want to send a hey there or a question or a comment, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. So, Nan, you know, the devil works so often in a form of condemnation. We talked about that today at Beacon, in accusation. You know, that is one of the biggest things he does, because why? Why does he want to use accusation and condemnation? And maybe we should define those first.
Well, I think he likes to use them because he can, if he can get to us through that method, that form, it can minimize what we do
yeah.
for the Lord, because
exactly.
we're feeling condemned. We're feeling like,
right.
well, who am I? Look at me. Look at this. Oh, who am I? I'm not called. I can't do this. And so you just kind of back down and don't do the things you need to be doing for the Lord because of the condemnation that you're getting from the enemy.
Exactly.
You're listening to the enemy when
Which
you do
is,
that.
Which is, the devil loves to yeah. do that. I think this is one of his main tricks. Have you noticed this, Connie, in years, the accusation against God's people, I mean, that the devil throws? Don't you think this is huge?
And it he uses it because he knows how to get to us who sometimes don't feel as worthy as others.
Right.
And if he can shut us down.
Right.
Which normally, if you think about it, people who have worthiness issues are people who have been in abusive situations.
Exactly.
And they've been oppressed by the abuser.
Right.
And so,
whoever that might be,
whoever it is,
a family member,
parents, it could
exactly.
be their spouse, it could be mm-hmm. somebody at work.
Right.
I mean, somebody who tries to hold something over somebody and keep them in their place.
Right.
Where that they want them.
Right.
Not where that person necessarily wants to be. And it just makes them feel like they're not worthy.
Exactly.
And then other people maybe around them, they see other people as being more spiritual or more better than them.
Right.
And that just compounds it.
Absolutely. And it's really one of the biggest tricks, I think, that the mm-hmm. devil uses. Because, like you say, if he can shut us up, and so that we don't fight with the truth. Because what we're talking about today is that belt of truth around us. In Ephesians 6, when we're talking about the weapons of our warfare, the very first one in the list is the belt of truth. And the reason that is because back in the Old Testament days, the belt, the big leather belt that they wore, was very important around their robe, because when they needed to run, when they needed to get someplace quickly, like Elijah did when he ran ahead of the chariot of Ahab for 18 miles to announce he said, you know, get going, Ahab, because it's going to rain. You know, it's going to start to rain. And it had not rained for 3.5 years, but God had told Elijah at that point, it's going to rain. So he says to the king, he goes out on a limb, it's going to rain, so you better be getting going. Because, you know, they didn't have asphalt highways. They had mud and dirt. And you're going to get stuck in the mud, King Ahab, if you don't get going, because it's going to rain. Boy, is that ever a faith statement. There's no rain coming down. You know, but you're going to get stuck in the mud. You're going to get stuck in the mud if you don't get going, because God had told Elijah, it's going to rain. Okay. So Elijah, it says, he pulled up the parts of his robe, tucked it in his belt so he could run. And we do that in order to get where we're going spiritually. We've got to understand that the belt of truth around our waist is extremely important. It allows us to be able to run this race with strength and with power. And the truth is the truth of what God says about us. What does God say about me? You know, I love the personal confessions in the front of the Prayers That Avail Much book that we use for prayer meeting by Jermaine Copeland, because it's 2 or 3 pages of I'm a believer, not a doubter. You know, all these different things that it says that we confess about ourselves, what the Bible says about us. Because so often the voices we are listening to are the devil and his demonic spirits trying to tell us, and people around us and situations in our life trying to tell us that we don't measure up.
I was reminded of a situation happened at a church, and my righteous pastor and his wife informed me that because I was divorced, nobody was going to listen to what I had to say. And what I had was the truth. they didn't like the truth in the situation. They were going to try to cover things up in the situation, and they basically tried to condemn me
right.
by saying I don't measure up because I'm divorced.
Same thing happened to me.
I'm not divorced because I was abused.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to stay in it, you know.
Right. Same thing happened to me in Indiana many years ago. Same thing. So because of this divorce, you cannot be the youth pastor anymore. Right. You know, this kind of thing or whatever. And so often people take, well, actually, that goes right along with Mark 3, where we were this morning. Let's go back there a minute, because our listeners probably need to hear this very same thing. Little story. What happened to Jesus in Mark chapter 3? Jesus was teaching, and there was a man there in the congregation who had a shriveled up hand. It says a withered hand in some translations. And I'm in the NIV, it says shriveled hand. And he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand, this is Mark 3, verse 1. This man was there. And some of them, now this is some of the religious leaders, were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. Okay? There's that word, accuse, that we need to talk about today more. That reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. There's our stand word today. Stand up in front of everyone. And this is what God is calling us to do. Stand up and be counted for something. You know, stand up and be counted. stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. I'm in verse what? Five? He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the religious leaders went out to try to figure out how they were going to kill Jesus for doing this good thing. He dared to heal on the Sabbath. And so many of the healings we see in the New Testament, Jesus intentionally healed on the Sabbath. Why? Connie, why did he do it on the Sabbath?
Why not?
Why? There you go. Why not? But he didn't care what they thought, did he?
No. And, you know, I mean, it's the whole thing, you know, there's when you go to the hospital, you don't see well people at the hospital. They're sick. People that are sick go to the hospital.
Right.
Not well people.
Right.
So sick people come to church.
Right.
And then they get weller.
Right. They get weller.
And then they help those new sick ones that come in.
Exactly. You know? That's what it's all about.
And yeah. And so why not?
Well, I think so often the devil will use anything he can to discourage us and accuse us. Nan, what are your thoughts there on that?
You know, like Connie, he can heal anytime he wants to heal. It put the leaders in a quandary as far as what to do.
It sure did.
You know, I mean, what do you do? I mean, here's what he's saying. How can we disprove?
Right.
And then the proof, as I said, proof's in the pudding.
It sure is.
The hand was well. Now what do we do? You know, how can we condemn a man for healing somebody?
Right.
So what if it was a Sabbath? The guys, we've known him since he was a little boy, and there were problems with that hand. It was
right.
healed.
Yes, it was healed.
On the Sabbath.
Exactly. Mm-mm. And the devil is just sitting there saying, oh, let's accuse Jesus. I mean, and that is one of the major tricks of the devil, this accusation mm-hmm. of God and us. It's all about accusation. It is really, really there. And Jesus is telling this guy, stand up in front of everyone. I love that. You have any thoughts on that? Stand up in front of everyone.
I like, I know an evangelist who, like when he's doing an altar call, he'll say, normally they say, bow your head and close your eyes. And, okay, if anybody wants to have Jesus as your Savior, you know. He says, everybody stand up looking around. And anybody here wants to call Jesus their Savior and haven't had him as their Savior before, you know, raise your hand and we're going to be praying for you.
Right.
And we're going to say this sinner prayer and we're going to, you know, everybody looking around. He wants them to see that this man has an infirmity
yes.
and that he is healed.
Exactly. Stand up in front of everyone. Stand up.
Stand.
And that is what we're talking about today on this show.
Take a stand.
Take a stand.
And it was almost like he wanted, you know, it was kind of like, look, he probably kind of looked around to see all who was there. He took inventory of who all was there.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Watch this.
Yeah.
Tells dad, okay, here we go.
Right.
And he heals this guy's hand just so everybody could see it. And he made sure that everybody saw it.
Yes. And so when we are in a bad situation, in whatever might come our way during the day or during work, when we can actually pray, believe, stand on the truth of God's word for our situation, then go and tell somebody, look what God did for me. You know, look what God did. He did this, you know, and look, he answered my prayer and he healed my body, or my back pain is gone. Like, mm-hmm. What happened to you this morning? And you did give God the glory for that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, because you were kind of down for the count. But look what God did. Look what God did.
And look what God did.
And so that's where we get to this point that we begin to just say, wait a minute, we got to give God the glory. We've got to give him the praise. We got to stand on what we know to be truth. Go ahead.
I think as we stand and we share with people, we share, look what God has done in my life. It also increases our own faith because we're actually, my thing is I hear myself speak.
Right.
And it becomes even more real to me as I hear myself speak or send an email to someone, guess what happened, or a text or whatever. You know, it increases my faith when I share what he
did.
And it helps the other person to understand and hear that God is still moving.
So the truth becomes more reality.
There you go.
You know, and truth really is reality. You know, we have so many reality shows, but I think a lot of those reality shows on TV are canned. They are planned, you know, and things happen for sensationalism. But when God is working in our lives, that's true reality. That's the truth, you know? We're going to talk more about this in our second hour. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are based in Clearwater, Florida. And Nan, what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope, and would you invite people there?
Absolutely. At 6:15, we have prayer meeting. At 7 o'clock, we have Bible study.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Many of us
Why
are coming.
Why is it fantastic?
We learn so much. It's interactive. You know, you don't just stand up there and speak for however long you're up there speaking. It's interactive. We can ask questions. There's open discussion.
Right.
And we learn a lot that way. I've asked questions before that I didn't know the answers to and was given that answer there.
Exactly.
She's worthy.
I love Brother Bill.
Brother Bill's crazy.
Also, many of us come straight from work, so we bring dinner, and that's certainly fine, and sit there and eat, and, you know.
Set up tables.
We just have a good time.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to know if you guys have a prayer line, right?
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do. A 24/7, 365 prayer line. Go ahead, Nan, talk about that.
I've used that too.
Year it's 366.
Is it 366?
Oh, because it's leap year.
Oh, it's leap year.
Extra day. Connie, I like when she keeps up with that kind of stuff.
And Connie said something that this is the year of what?
Leap year.
No, she told me in a text when I was in the hospital, she said this is the year of comebacks or something like that.
Overcomers,
yes. Absolutely. Yes, go ahead, Nan. The prayer line.
Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry.
We do have a prayer line.
Anyone can email in just a request, and it's distributed by one of several people who happen to get the prayer request, and it goes out to everyone who's on the prayer list, and it's really cool to know that people are praying for you.
Yes.
You know? I mean, like when I put mine out, I was flat on my back and I was having a lot of pain and a lot of stuff. It was comforting to me to know that I had put out this prayer request and that all these people, most of them are going to be praying for me.
Absolutely.
And we're unified in prayer.
Absolutely.
You know, we're two or more gathered in his name. He's in the midst. You unite with me, I unite with, we all unite together in prayer.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Then what happens?
You get better.
You get better. You get healed.
What's the prayer line number?
It is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com or 813-417-3377. One more time, 813-417-3377 or email prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
All right. We welcome every one of you, all these stations that carry this show live, all the stations. Great. We're glad you're with us. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my buddies here today, Connie and Nan. We've got a prayer team, and we talked about that a minute ago, that will pray for your needs. You can email or call. But it's easier to email prayers@beaconfolkministries.com. And we've got a radio team, Connie. There's several of us that, I'm always on unless I'm ill or out of town. But for the most part, I am. And the rest of you rotate through with me. And we get a lot of different opinions about the things we're studying. It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And April 15th will be our fifth year
anniversary for the radio. It will be five years that we've been on this radio show and this radio station.
We have to be having a big party.
We have to have a party that day. Absolutely. So Connie, Sunday mornings, tell them about that, what happens, and our address.
Boring.
Boring.
She hasn't been where I've been.
I know. Where's she been? I don't know.
We have
been asleep, I guess.
Our church service starts at 10 o'clock, and if you want a double dose of blessing, come at 9. The praise and worship team rehearses before.
It's wild. From 9 to 10, too.
Yeah. And then service starts at 10, which is we start with praise and worship, and then we have a word. And then we usually have time where we pray over people who need prayer.
Yes.
And then we usually hang out and go to lunch together.
A lot of that going on.
Yeah. And then we... whoever's going to be on the radio then follows through to the radio.
Yes.
At 4. Mm-hmm. But it's, like I said earlier, the praise and worship last week took a stand and advanced to the next level.
It sure did.
And today, I think it pretty much went to the next level.
It was wild. Wild.
It was
today.
So cool. And, I mean, just it was just phenomenal. God was there. You could just feel it. You could feel Him. You could feel Him there.
Oh, so there.
Yeah.
The presence of God. So if you want to come experience the presence of God in a setting that is relaxed and friendly and
safe.
Like a family, it's safe. It's a wonderful place. Everyone's welcome. We don't draw lines on... we're very... diverse, I guess, is we really are diverse.
Casual,
in a lot of ways.
Diverse.
Casual,
you know,
diverse.
Just dress casual and
exactly.
Inspiring.
Inspiring. Oh, yeah.
We
absolutely.
Usually have coffee and a snack.
Yeah. Today there was chocolate cake, there was yellow cake with chocolate icing. Oh,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Usually we don't have that till afterwards because we save the cake. But usually there are some times where we have donuts in the morning. But we always have coffee and we have water. And or you can bring your own.
Yeah. Just fun.
Beverage.
It's great. So we welcome you to join us Sunday morning at 10 and Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. And today we're talking about truth and the fact that the truth is the very first piece of our armor in Ephesians 6. And it's so important that we understand how truth works for us. And we're going to talk more about it in a minute, but this song is really going to say it all by Casting Crowns, Voice of Truth.
Have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices
kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone. Surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
Different story, the voice of truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. The voice of truth. This is for his glory. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are Jesus' words. If you really knew me, you would also know my Father as well. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth, okay? And John 1, verse 14, it says, he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of, are you ready, listening audience? Full of, this is John 1:14, huge verse, full of grace and truth. What is Jesus full of? Grace and truth. Grace means God's unmerited favor. Truth is reality. It's the way it really is. That's truth. Now, we find in John 14 that I just quoted to you that Jesus is, when he came to this earth, he was to look like the Father, which he did, act like the Father. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. And he is full of grace and truth. So what is the Father like? He's full of grace and truth. Okay? So in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So the way is very similar to that 30-fold experience with God, where we just begin to understand, wow, this is the way to eternal life. This is a way to a new life. Salvation, that's the 30-fold experience. Then we go a little further in God, and it's in that 60-fold realm where we begin to understand truth. We begin to understand what God really says about us, where we begin to realize that the devil is out to get us and fight us in every regard, and we got to learn to walk in truth, walk in truth. And that's that 60-fold realm where we're beginning to grow up and grab that truth for ourselves. And then the 100-fold realm is life, way, truth, and life. Where we realize that, you know, we don't have to be stuck back here in the elementary things. We can learn the ways of true life. Jesus said, I came to give you life, he said in John 10:10, and to give it to you abundantly till it overflows. That's the kind of life that Jesus came to give us. And as we move from just understanding Jesus as the way, the way to salvation. And then we realize that he really is the truth. He is the truth. And we begin to study the truth, which is the word of God. Then we want more of him. And we understand that God has all of these blessings for us. And that that Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly, then we begin to move into that 100-fold realm in God where we understand the truth. We understand that it's the truth that has to be the belt that we wear all the time, God's truth. And when the devil comes and lies to us and tries to defeat us with his accusations and his lies, we stand up to him. Look at John 16:13, and then we're going to the book of Isaiah. John 16:13, and here's what Jesus said. When he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit is also truth. Okay? He's truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, I only do and say what my Father does. So if Jesus is the truth, the Father is also the truth. The Word is the truth. Jesus came to this earth, and is everybody getting all this?
Yes.
And Jesus said, and he was only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay? That's his whole nature. So when we are hearing correctly the voice of God, and we're going on with that this Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope, talking about hearing correctly, we begin to understand that you have to learn to decipher truth from lies and accusations. You've got to begin to understand when you're hearing truth and when you're not. And if you're not hearing truth, you need to be doing something about it. Let's go to the book of Isaiah real quick, and then I'm going to bring Connie and Nan back in here for their comments. Let's go to Isaiah 54. I love these verses. Nan, these are some of my favorites, since you are always keeping track of those. Isaiah 54, starting with verse 14 to the end of the chapter. In righteousness, you will be established. Now, righteousness is right standing with God. Isaiah 54, 14, if you're trying to find it in your Bible right now. In righteousness, that means in right standing, you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. I'm in the NIV. Tyranny will be far from you. You know, the devil is always tyrannical. What's it mean to be a tyrant? What's a tyrant?
Ruler.
A ruler? Good or bad? A tyrant.
Bad.
A bad.
Bad.
Right? A tyrant is somebody who rules it over you, tries to make you do things you shouldn't, you don't want to do, forces you into feeling
evil.
Bad. He's evil. Mm. A tyrant is evil. Okay? Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Oh my, nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. Fear and terror. I don't know about y'all, but I think it's time that we get rid of fear and terror. Terror in our lives. Terror. Don't you think?
Yes.
It absolutely. Comment on that, Nan. Why do we need to really stand against fear and terror in our lives?
Well, I think when we're living in fear and terror, that's taken away from living in God's plan for our,
absolutely his truth.
Yeah, right, his truth. You know, we can get very engulfed with the fear or the terror,
right,
that we feel. It can actually be very real feeling to us, of course, that it is. But that's the way the enemy has it scheduled, and not scheduled, planned that it would be that way.
Absolutely. And trying to destroy us through fear and through terror. So in righteousness, we're established, though, because that's right standing with God. So if anyone, so let's look at verse 15 of Isaiah 54. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. In fact, in some translations, that word is accuse. If anybody does accuse you, and we know the accuser of the brethren is the devil. Okay? So if anybody accuses you, it's not from me, says God. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. We got to get this down on the inside of us. God does not accuse us. God does not come around. God gently convicts of sin and points out, wait a minute, you know. And God does not accuse and torment you, you know, with the things that you've done in the past. When you ask God to forgive you, those things are buried in the deepest sea.
You know, those that he's forgiven us. I think many times we don't, we're, not that we're not capable, but we don't forgive ourselves.
Right.
We are capable. If you look at the word, he's forgiven it as far as he's has thrown as far as he is from the west. That's right. Forever. You know, then we need to be able to learn how to forgive ourselves.
Absolutely. And not fall for those traps.
Right.
That's what we're talking about here. Verse 16. So see to it. See, it is I, let's put it that way. This is God talking, who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame, keeps a weapon for its work, fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. What is that about? This God is saying right here that he created the devil to do the stuff he does. Now, the reason that is because God is teaching us how to take our authority and become strong. And so the devil is out there. He was created by God. He was one of the angels and he fell from grace. And so are you reading it in the Message Bible there?
Yes.
Go ahead, read it.
I created the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. Mm-hmm. I also create the destroyer, but no weapons that can hurt you as has ever been forged.
Amen. Let's read it in the NIV. And Nan, do you have your King James?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Let's read verse 17, Nan, in your King James.
Verse which one? 17. Okay. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Whoa, no weapon, I'm in the NIV, formed against you or forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. Okay? This is what God is saying we should be doing. The next line, this is your heritage, the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Let's translate that whole passage into everyday living. God says, yeah, I created Satan. Yeah, he was one of the angels. Yeah, and he fell. Okay? But you have authority. You can refute everything the devil throws at you. Mm-hmm. Connie, comment mm-hmm. on that. And why would we want to refute the stuff the devil says?
Why would we want to take
it? Right. Well, the devil's not going to tell you how sweet, kind, and lovely you are, is he?
No.
Okay.
He might at first, and then he'll use it against you in a court of law.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Okay.
Jesus gave us all the authority that we need.
Right.
To take on any of the spiritual enemies that we have.
Right.
And he expects us to use them.
Yes.
And so... part of our stand is to take the authority, being able to recognize the acts of the devil
right.
and his demons and
yes.
his compadres,
right.
And stand against them and fight.
Absolutely.
With the weapons of our warfare.
And God tells us he's already given us these weapons. You know, he's already mm-hmm. done that. Nan, talk about all that, will you?
Well, it says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And
right.
like Connie says, because we have our armor on.
Right.
And if you just minus one piece of that armor, he's going to be able to get in. Just one.
Well,
because
well,
it's, you know,
yeah.
he's going to be able to get in. I know Connie has encouraged me to put on the armor of God, put on my armor every morning.
Right.
She's encouraged. She's asked me even, are you doing that, Nan?
It
you
wasn't
know?
An encouragement. It was an assignment.
It was an
homework.
Assignment. Oh, wow.
Well, I was trying to be subtle.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
But,
man, dancing around the bush.
It was an assignment, and it was a good assignment. And we all ought to self-assign ourselves
there,
to do that.
Self-assign ourselves.
That's a good
yeah,
self-assign
like
ourselves.
Yeah, let's
exactly.
do that. Self-assign ourselves.
Because, you know, self-assign ourselves.
You like that? Yeah, I like that.
Starting to sound like Terry.
Uh-oh. Well, because when we put it, I can feel the difference. I can feel the difference when I have done that.
Yes.
And if I
yes.
have not done that, I can
Wait,
really feel
what did you just say?
I can feel the difference when
really?
I...
Really?
Yeah.
When you put
that?
On the armor, which is what Ephesians
yeah.
6 is all about. And the first weapon is the one so, we're talking about
yeah,
today,
truth.
Which
yeah.
is truth.
It's true.
So why, Nan, is it so important to have the belt of truth on? because the devil is going to try his best to lie.
Well, you're teaching here in the past about don't buy the lie.
Don't buy the lie.
They can hear that on the website.
In June of 2011, we have a great radio show on that. Don't buy the lie. Yes, she's listening to
it. That was her assignment, like for 30 days.
I know, yeah.
30 months straight in counseling. But
that's why she knows about it, because she's listened to it so many times.
I did start listening to it.
Don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie, because the devil is throwing whatever he can at you to discourage you, defeat you, and get you from walking in victory. He doesn't want you walking in victory. He wants you walking, you know, just kind of crawling along and barely getting there, you know?
It's so much more fun when you're with it and you have your own armor on and you're winning victories.
Amen.
You're winning victories left and right and you're proceeding forward.
Yes.
We don't live by feelings, so we can't go that far. We don't live by feelings.
Right.
But it sure does feel good.
It does, doesn't it?
When you're being victorious.
Right.
You know, when you have your armor on and you're fighting.
Right.
And you're not buying the lies. And
Absolutely.
You have the truth there. And truth is His Word. The truth is Holy Spirit. Truth is Jesus. Truth is God. You know, all that you've been sharing.
Yes.
To have all that truth.
Amen.
You mean you'd rather be a conqueror than a victim?
Yes.
Really?
Counselor Connie.
I was thinking that wimpy song, you know, that we sing once in a while, Victory in Jesus. Victory.
That's not a wimpy song. Victory in Jesus.
I mean,
that's a good old hymn.
Who wouldn't
want
to be more than a conqueror?
That's right.
Who wouldn't want to be
victorious? Well, people that are having a pity party and you know, inviting people to their pity party.
You know, I have three words for them.
What's that?
Get over it.
Get over it. Okay. But because so often the devil has accused so much that people feel so sorry for themselves and so beat down, so abused. It's a form of abuse. Mm-hmm. What the devil does is a form of abuse. When he puts you down, if you've ever been in an abusive relationship where your partner, your spouse, or somebody, a family member, a friend, just beats you up all the time, then it gets to the point that is extremely abusive. And some people love it, go back to it. They don't love it, but they keep going back to it.
They can't break the cycle.
Yeah.
Well, and we buy what they say.
Right.
I was in an abusive relationship. I know.
Right.
You know, and they you say beat you down. That's exactly what they try to do, is beat you down.
It's what the devil tries to do.
And that's exactly what the devil tries to do.
And he does it through people like that, too.
Oh, absolutely. He does.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've known people who would attack the ministry that God has given me to do simply by saying just ugly, ugly things. Ah, nobody wants to hear that, blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever the case may be. Just to try to stop what God is doing, you know, and the calling that God has on my life. Fortunately, I don't give in to those kinds of discussions. Mm-hmm. But there have been times in my life that I probably did and allowed it to bother me for a period of time. And I think all of us are prone to falling into those traps of the devil. You know, we're prone. Connie, you want to comment on that?
Well, I think I was in an abusive relationship at one point, and it's interesting because, you know, in stature, I'm pretty tall.
Yeah.
And I always thought that I was a pretty strong person, you know, and I stood for something, you know. I would never let somebody, if a man ever hit me, I'd hit him with a ball bat and that'd be the end of it, you know, all this stuff. And it's interesting how in an abusive relationship, how it you know, things start out being just fine, and then all of a sudden people start showing their true colors.
They sure do.
And that goes back to when people show you who they really are, believe them.
Believe
them the first time.
Yeah.
And run like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting because when I figured out, you know, it took a knockdown, drag-out fight for me to realize that it was, that you know, it was like a reality check. And I'm not a fighter.
Right.
I've never been a fighter. And for me to shove somebody and them fall down and almost hit their head, that to me was a reality check.
Right.
And so then it was like, how did I ever get here?
Right.
How did I keep taking this abuse?
Yes.
How did I get into this position? And then what am I going to do? Because I can't tell anybody. I'm too embarrassed.
Right.
Who am I going to tell? I couldn't even tell my best friend.
Right.
That we had been friends for 20 years. And I could not even tell my best friend that this was going on because I was so ashamed.
Exactly.
And the abuse causes such shame and such all these emotions and this unworthiness that you can't, it's almost like you just rather just die.
Right.
Just give up.
Yeah.
But we know the one who is our Savior.
Amen.
And that, at that point is when I first started coming to Beacon.
Yeah.
Because I had been searching for a church, and good old Scott, you know, yeah, he kept sending me emails. He kept sending me emails. He would just send devotions.
Right.
And I didn't know who he was. I didn't know where he was from. I didn't know anything about the church. But I said to him, I don't know how you got my name on your email.
Right.
But don't take me off.
Okay.
And so God knew how to work through that.
Right.
And as things got worse in my relationship, then, you know, then I knew where to draw from. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got to Beacon.
Wow. Wow. You know what? We're going to flip these next two songs and let's go to track 6. Walls are coming down right now. And thank you, Connie, for being so open and honest about all that. And we're going to come back and talk about that in a minute. Let's do Walls Are Coming Down.
I'm where I don't want to stay. Close enough but far away. There's just too much at stake. I don't want to miss the moment of embrace. Yeah. I don't want to stand at an arm's length from the hands that are reaching to save me.
A
new song. I don't want to stand at arm's length. I want to let God do the work that needs to be done. You are crying. Talk to me. What did you write on your paper, Connie?
Well, one of the words says, I don't want to miss the reason why I'm alive.
Right.
And it says that I spent all my life holding back, and I don't want to hold back anymore.
Amen. Amen. How do we hold back?
Just by not, I mean, for me, it's just not, you know, telling anybody
about the
Jesus
abuse or about
Jesus.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to hold back anymore.
Right.
I don't, you know, we've got a hold of the truth,
right?
And when I think of the people that need to hear the truth,
yes,
there's so many more people that need the truth,
right?
Need to hear the truth than those that can provide the truth,
right? Right.
And you know, I don't want to hold back anymore.
No. Want to be out there on that front.
You know, I think I was, you know, I was always shy and less bold. You prayed for boldness for me again.
Right.
More bold. So I guess this is what it is. But, you know, I just never, you know, I just kind of was quiet and, you know, I knew what I believed in my heart.
Sure.
But I just, I've never been a fanatic about pushing it out there.
Now. Yeah. You are a fanatic now.
Yeah.
You know, when you're
not a fanatic though. I mean,
but when you have truth, you want to communicate it and you want to take it to the right, to the people that God puts in your path.
And there's so many people in our community who have been abused by somebody.
Yes.
And been in an abusive, horrific, you know, abusive relationship that, I just have such a burden for those people.
Amen.
I mean, somebody will tell you there's nothing worse than somebody who's a convert, like somebody who quit smoking.
Right.
You know, there should be a fanatic about, you know, you got to quit smoking.
Everybody to quit. Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, this is a good thing because this is life saving.
Right.
Because some of these individuals could be dead tomorrow.
Right.
If the right situation happens in their abusive relationship,
right,
to cause that person to be that angry.
Absolutely. And that song is saying, let's don't keep all this at arm's length. Let's do something with it. Yes. Let's get it in there.
I'm not going to hold Jesus at arm's length anymore. He's my savior. He needs to do his stuff.
Do the work. Nan, comment on all this.
Well, what came to my mind, it kind of goes along with this, about not being at arm's length. A charming man at a church this morning, you know, we greet and hug each other.
Sure.
And he's taller than I am, wonderful Andy. And we hugged, you know, like we hugged. And I went to let go, and he says, don't let go. And he was just standing there holding me.
Oh, wow.
I was like, he didn't say a word. He just held me. And it was like, wow. And it was like God just wrapping his arms around me, loving me.
Right.
I was just blown away. I mean, we didn't say a word afterwards. He would hit stretch and I wouldn't mind. But I was like, that was very powerful for me. And that's what I thought of at arm's length. And that was God loving us.
Yes.
And he loves us.
He loves us so much. And he wants us to get these lessons down on the inside of us so we can fight.
Right.
He doesn't want us all defeated all the time by all the tricks and schemes of the devil. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 here. And we've got another great song coming up in a few minutes. Bill has brought Kleenex for Nan and Connie today. First Peter chapter 5. And we kind of touched on this last week, but we really didn't go into it very, very detailed. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this: be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. This is 1 Peter 5:8, looking for someone to devour. And I mentioned this last week that the word devour in the original Greek means to swallow you up. You know, the devil is looking for somebody to swallow up. And then here's what it says in verse 9 of 1 Peter 5. Resist him, who? The devil. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Verse 10 of 1 Peter 5. And the God of all grace, there it is again, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast.
Restore.
Mm-hmm. To him, I've got the hiccups. To him be the power forever and ever. Talk about that, guys, while I get some water. Somebody talk.
You want to go, Connie?
Well,
you know, be sober, be vigilant, is what the King James says, you know, as roaring lion seeking who, around who may devour. He uses, and you've already touched on this, Pastor, he uses people.
Right.
Many times.
Exactly.
To come against us.
Absolutely.
You know? And many times they come in sheep's clothing. Like the, another
yeah,
scripture,
yeah,
you know,
can.
That they, you know, and they sometimes can come as being religious leaders.
Absolutely.
Even, you
they
know,
can.
And then,
sure.
you know, so Satan comes at us in all different ways. And as you have said this morning in morning service, you're talking about a battle of our mind.
Absolutely.
That is how Satan comes against me. A lot of times when he's coming to me, it's against my mentally, what I'm thinking, what is
right.
coming my direction, what is happening, why is this happening? You know, I overanalyze things to death.
Really?
Yeah, I know you didn't know that, Sister Connie. It's good to do that in certain things, and certain things it's wrong.
Right.
And trying to get a balance there.
Sure.
But anyway, he would seek to destroy us, however.
Absolutely.
However is most effective.
Absolutely.
And what's effective for you may not be effective for me. He customizes it.
Again, custom abuse. Right. Go ahead, Con.
He wrote...
Message
he
Bible?
Here, no, this is King James.
King James?
NIV. NIV. Wow.
Resist him standing firm.
Standing
firm. Not sitting. Standing firm in the faith.
Right.
The one thing today, actually yesterday in our workshop, one thing Dale was telling us... The song that we started out with.
Shake the Foundation.
Shake the Foundation. Glad you remember the name. I couldn't think of the name. He said, you know, look at these words. And he said, what does it look like you're doing in this, in these words say? What do these words say? I don't have them with me. But part of it was...
praising him in the midst.
Well, it was... darn it. I wish I could remember. It was about beating down the devil.
Yeah, it was.
You know, there were things, and there were strong things that
right.
we were doing.
Exactly.
The fight.
Right.
And he said, what do fighters do?
Right.
How do fighters stand?
Right.
How do they stand? And he said, when he said, you know, posture is everything when you're singing.
Oh.
You know, I mean, he's just.
Oh, that's good.
He is so cool. You know,
yeah,
the
that's
things,
good.
Just the little things that,
posture.
I mean. Yeah.
Yes.
And so posture, he said, how do you stand?
Mm-hmm.
You stand. Mm-hmm. You don't stand with your legs locked.
Right.
You stand 1 foot apart.
Right.
1 foot. However you take the stance, like you're going to.
Right.
If you're going to hit, like if you're boxing. Okay. So he, you know, what he said was, is as you're standing there, when this song is starting, take your stance.
Woo.
And then sing.
Yes. Yes.
And so, and then I found myself the whole time, almost the whole time we were singing, I found myself staying in that stance.
Yeah.
Like we were doing battle.
Boy, that's good. You know, it reminds me of throwing a baseball because I grew mm-hmm. up playing baseball all the mm-hmm. time. And I've played with my kids and my grandkids and all that. And I when you are... getting ready to throw the ball, let's say you're pitching the ball, or you're getting ready to try to get the ball out there someplace, not just like 3 feet, but I mean, really have a good throw.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, when you stand 1 foot, your left foot is usually in front of your right foot.
If you're right-handed, yeah.
If you're right-handed, yeah. Your left foot is out there, and then you kind of use your body weight to propel that ball as far as you can, you know, and it's that stance that you take. If you just stand there... just flat-footed and stand there and try to throw the ball, it's not going to go very far.
Be like a girl.
You'd be throwing like a girl. We don't want to do that. And it's the same with golf. If you don't get the right stance in golf, like we talked about mm-hmm. earlier, there's no breakthrough if there's no follow-through. You got to get the right stance for that golf club in order to get all the power from your body through the ball. And so the ball goes where it needs to go. It's mm-hmm. this same principle. Mm-hmm. It's how you stand, and you stand ready for action. Nan, you want to comment on all this? Because it's good stuff.
It's good stuff. I'd prefer Connie comment on it, please.
All righty, then. You two just pass these the ball back and forth to you. But the devil doesn't want you taking that kind of a stand, whether it's praise, because praise is a huge weapon against the devil. Praise is huge. What happened at church today?
Mm.
Praise is what opened the door for God to really speak and for the anointing to flow so mightily.
Just the chapter in Acts that Dale read from at the beginning
exactly.
before we even started singing.
Yeah.
Paul and Silas in prison.
Yes, exactly.
They were praising God, and the chains broke. Everything. They were free.
Right.
It broke the chains that were binding them,
and it's the praise,
and let them be free.
Woo! Amen. Amen.
You know, the word says that God inhabits the praise of
His
people.
Yes, He does.
And well, as you know, I have moved, and I was living with a friend of mine, and then I moved to be in a place by myself, and I am absolutely loving it.
Yes.
Because I can sit there and praise God as I want to.
Yes.
I can shout if I want to. I can just praise God, whatever, and I don't need to worry about someone being around who is an atheist, but someone being around who, you know, would be judgmental of that, because I've faced that before,
right,
with this individual, a kind of a judgmental type of stuff. And
right.
So it's great. Praise is great.
Isn't that great?
It's great. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it's great.
DL did a song a couple weeks ago. Praise is what you do.
Yeah.
When you want to be close to... Oh, man. Great
that was good.
Song.
That was a good song.
Because that is what it's all about.
Right.
Praise does lift us above the accusations and the condemnation of the devil. And we are going to play a song for you that's going to lift you to a high place in God. It's one we do live at Beacon of Hope. This is not our group doing it. This is Chris Tomlin. And how great is our God? Mm. Get ready to be wildly moved.
Splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
Our God. We have been talking today about how the devil really tries to discourage us to such a point that we just are rendered ineffective for God, because he tries to accuse us and condemn us. The devil gets in there. He is like a roaring lion. He tries to pounce, devour us, it says in 1 Peter 5, And that word devour means swallow us up. Nan, talk about that. Swallow us up.
He has tried to do that with me today.
Okay.
Coming in late to church.
Right.
Which, because of my back, but coming late to church, you know, and he'll cut me funny. And he's like, what are you doing on the radio show?
Oh.
You were late to church.
Ah.
But what are you doing on the radio
show? See, there's an example of condemnation.
I was like, well, Satan, I don't have to take that.
Right.
Yes, I was late. Yes, I was having problems with my back because of you.
Right.
Christian friend got me there by her texts. And I can be on the radio show.
Exactly.
I can speak on the radio
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
That did happen, but there was all kinds of circumstances around that. But I made it.
Right.
I made it thanks to Connie. I made it.
Right.
God
Praise
used
God.
Connie. And, you know, so that's just one example of
that's
most
a great
living example that I have.
Swallowed
you know?
Up. That's great, Con.
Thank you, Sister Connie.
Sister Connie.
Swallowed up, huh?
Swallowed
well,
up.
I might getting swallowed up.
Ever felt like you were?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
I don't remember those times. So
okay.
I try not. I just, you know, they happen and, you know, you got to let them go. And
absolutely.
If you do get swallowed up, you just ask for forgiveness and move on.
Absolutely. And the next time
coming.
You resist the devil quicker. Because if we start down that road of being swallowed up, mm-hmm. it gets so intense sometimes that we need to call somebody for help.
Right,
get a
right,
lifeline.
Right.
You remember that old show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Millionaire, whatever it
and
was.
And hopefully soon you will learn to recognize his tricks. And you don't let him take over you.
Well, exactly. Because that is what it. Resist him. Mm-hmm. Resist him. And, you know, resist him. Where is this? What verse is that? That is verse 8?
9.
9. Resist him standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. What does that mean? Dear ones, if you need somebody to agree with you in prayer, reach out for
right.
that prayer support.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what our prayer line is all about. People, there's people who write prayer requests that from different parts of the world that are discouraged, defeated, or have a healing issue, a health issue, whatever it is. Whatever it is, God wants to meet you right where you are. And sometimes you need, just like Paul wrote here, Peter wrote, there are times you got to remember that your brothers throughout the world are going through these same things.
For some reason, you know, how, like we have prayer at the end of the service, how we, you know, if you need prayer, come up here and take my hand. You always say, come take my hand and I'll pray for you.
Right.
And, you know, I how many times have I heard somebody say, oh, I went up last week. I can't go this week.
Right. Don't want to go 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't go again.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Get up there.
Right.
You know, I just usually grab them by the hand and say, come on.
Exactly.
Because, and who's up there every week? Me.
Yeah, you are up there a lot.
Because I need all the prayer I can get.
Right. Yeah.
And
you're not too proud to say, hey, you know, I need prayer.
Pride would
prayer
have
agreement.
A long time ago. but, you know, you got to learn to yep. ask for what you need. And if you don't know what you need, then ask for prayer.
Exactly.
And even if you do know what you need, you still need to get prayer.
Right.
Because, and how much better is it that you have all these people circled around you.
Right.
Praying
wow.
for you.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I mean, it's a prayer of agreement right
yes,
there.
Right
More
there.
Than two.
And we realize that people all over the world are going through the same things.
Right.
We're not alone in these struggles and in these fights with
but
the devil.
But when we get in our pity parties, we think, oh,
I'm the only one. Yeah.
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's time. It's time to resist the devil and he will flee from you.
You can ask for help and get out of your hole that you've
absolutely
that you've fallen into.
Exactly. You two get ready for your final thoughts in a minute. I'm going to pray for you out there in Radio Land. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for the word of truth that has gone forth today on this radio show. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord, Amen. That Jesus is full of grace and truth. And Lord, we draw on your truth, the truth of your word and what your word says about us. And your word says we are more than conquerors. We don't have to be in a pit of despair today. We don't have to give up. We don't have to hurt ourselves or someone else if we're mean. We don't have to be mean is what I'm trying to say, God. We don't have to resort to striking out at somebody because we're having a bad day. We can instead realize the truth of God's word, that God loves us so very much that he sent Jesus, his son, to this earth to die on a cross for us. And so, Lord, today we reach out in truth and we pray for these that are listening, these that will hear this show at a later date. And Lord, we just speak that the truth of your word that has gone forth today will reach down into the depths of people's hearts and cause them to realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he has a reason for each one of them, that he has a plan for their lives, and he wants to bring them into that hope and future that you have for them, God. That's your goal for each of us, that we learn to walk in truth, and we learn to refuse and fight the lies and accusations and condemnation of the devil. So, Lord, I pray for our listening audience, and I pray strength for them. I pray strength for every single person that hears this show at some later date, that they will realize that they can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that they can put on the full armor of God. They can resist the devil, and he will flee. They can draw close to God, and God will draw close to them. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but every tongue that accuses us in judgment we will show to be in the wrong. This is our heritage, God, and we stand on that heritage right now. So, Lord, we stand in the gap for every listener. Let them see the truth of your word today in a fantastic new way, and let them decide that God is so great and so powerful as to help them through whatever situation they are in. So we speak healing to bodies that are diseased and hurting today. We speak healing for emotions where emotions are beat up and tattered and worn and tired. We speak healing in every area of people's lives where there's been past abuse, Lord, that they will find their healing in you, Lord, and in the truth of your word. And we speak blessing to people's finances and their livelihoods, their jobs, their families, their relationships, their marriages, their partnerships, whatever it is. Lord, let them be blessed in all that they put their hand to. May they prosper. We declare it. We believe it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Okay, who's first? Connie, final word. What do you have?
Well, I, for one, don't want to miss the reason why I'm alive.
Amen.
And, you know, I think that's why I'm so interested in helping people with our counseling and
right.
And just standing in the gap.
Yes.
For so many that, you know, aren't quite where they want to be yet.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, it's everybody has to start somewhere.
Amen.
Just start. Just, you know, stop keeping Jesus at an arm's length. Let
right.
him in. Let him hold you. Let him love you, because that's what he's here for. That's
Amen.
What he wants.
Woo.
And let him show you what love, true love, really can be. And then when you have your yourself together, then you can comfort others with the comfort that you
Amen.
Have.
Amen. Praise God.
And, you know, it's like giving, paying forward.
Right.
Continue to pay for
it. Good stuff. Man.
Well, my thing is just a simple two-verse poem on stand.
Yes.
That we were talking about earlier, and I wrote this earlier in the show. Take a stand right now. I am helping you through. I will do my part. You must also do yours, too. Your understanding isn't mine, but I will work all things for you. Stand, 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 stand. Do it now. Stand. You will make it through.
Woo, good stuff. Thanks for that.
So I just encourage people to stand.
Yeah, there you go. There's your applause, your applesauce.
I have my applesauce.
Yeah.
Just to stand. And when it seems hardest to stand, still just stand. If you need to have people around you to encourage you, reach out.
Reach out.
If you don't have to reach, if you don't have anyone around you, reach out to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen.
We'll
That's exactly
there with
right.
You. They can do that.
Absolutely.
Know? Call the
yes.
church phone.
Right.
Which I don't have memorized.
813-417-3377, and Connie will answer the phone.
Yes,
so praise God.
I will.
Praise God. We've had a great time with you again today. We welcome you if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Join us for any of our services. Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6:15, powerful time. And Bible study at 7. We get out of there by 8:30 at least. Most people do. The praise band continues to stay later in practice. But Wednesday nights are a great time at Beacon of Hope. This Thursday night is going to be a very night, wonderful, important night of intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. This Thursday night at Beacon of Hope, everybody, anybody is welcome beginning around 7 o'clock. Intercessory prayer night. We're going to pray for the growth of the ministry and a whole lot of other things and a lot of needs that have been written out on cards. We're going to take those needs and pray for them this Thursday night. So if you want prayer, write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and you get prayed for this Thursday night.
So intercessory means growth?
Intercessory means praying it for somebody. Being that
I've never heard that word before.
Intercessor, yeah.
Oh, intercessor.
Yeah. So, praise God. It's not far to Jesus. And this has been Beacon of Hope Ministries live show every Sunday, 4 o'clock. And living the good life. And we're getting ready to have our 5th year anniversary come April 15th. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's cool.
What about the... What about your book? How's that doing?
The books are great, and go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Thanks, Bill. And I've written 3, and they're there, and you can order them there or on Amazon.com. Lessons from the Fiery Furnace, Living Large and Loving It, and the book to my daughter about drug addiction, Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost, and she is doing great, by the way. Praise
Yay.
God. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week, 4 o'clock live. Tell a friend. Invite them to tune in to Living the Good Life. God bless you. Have a great week.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no it's not far.